Hey, Cole. Hey, Thomas. What time is it?
It's fire time.
Hello, and thank you for spending some fire time with us. I'm Ed Murphy, coming to you from Servite High School in Anaheim, California, and I'm one of the vocation directors for the USA province of the Servants of Mary. Father Don Seipel, OSM, who is the other vocation director, cannot be with us today, so instead, we have two very special guests. Since this is National Vocation Awareness Week, we felt it would be appropriate to have our two young men who are in the Servite Formation Program spend some friar time with us. Please welcome from Our Lady of Sorrows Basilica in Chicago, Illinois, Cole Dryden.
Hello.
And Thomas Kremer.
Howdy.
Gentlemen, thank you for joining us today. Before we get started with some friar time, we flipped a coin, and Mr. Cole Dryden won the opportunity to say prayer, to lead us in prayer. So, Cole.
Thank you, Eddie. Tonight, we'll be praying one of the vocation prayers for the Servite Order that we pray every morning when we do our morning meditation together. So let us put ourselves in the presence of the Lord, and we begin in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. God of compassionate mercy, you inspire the seven holy founders with the desire to follow completely the poor and meek Christ. Through their intercession, inspire other young people to choose you and focus their whole lives on you. May they walk in the steps of your Son, in the spirit of the gospel beatitudes. May they die to the sterility of self-centeredness, seeking only your kingdom and its justice. He who lives and reigns forever and ever. Amen.
Amen.
Father and the Son,
Holy Spirit.
Amen.
Amen.
Thank you, Cole.
Very welcome.
As I mentioned earlier, this is National Vocation Awareness Week, which is an annual week-long celebration of the Catholic Church in the United States, and it's dedicated to promote vocations to religious life, to consecrated life, to the ordained ministry, through life and education. Also is meant to renew our prayers to support those who are discerning. Although vocation directors do this all year, it's nice to have a week where we can really focus on helping those who are discerning by making them aware that we are here to help them out. So obviously, Cole, Thomas, the two of you went through a discernment process. You are now in our formation program in Chicago. Thomas, you are a postulant, and
yep.
Cole, you are a novice, correct?
Correct.
Very cool. So we'll start with you, Cole. When were you aware that you had a vocation to religious life, to the priesthood?
Well, my story is quite interesting, to be honest. I originally did not feel the call to the priesthood until I was about 13 years old. I was in the eighth grade, and I remember one night I was going to bed, and I suddenly had a dream. And in that dream, I saw myself as a young boy playing Mass in his bedroom. And then the last thing I remember is that I saw a message against a screen, kind of like an old-fashioned computer screen, type out the message, "Did you ever consider becoming a priest?" And I thought, oh, okay. And I told my parents, and my mom told me that I actually had the vocation to be a priest since I was three. Of course, I didn't even know that, or I couldn't remember that. So pretty much I had it all my life. Of course, it didn't come to me until 10 years later. Just before I entered the novitiate, my mother reminded me of what I did when I was three. One day when I was at a Sunday Mass with the family, our pastor at the time, Father George, he was at the altar, and I pointed out to him and said, "That me." So apparently, I had always wanted to be a priest. And it's kind of interesting because when my mother was pregnant with me, there were some difficulties, and she decided to dedicate me to the Lord. So
wow.
Came out pretty strong. I'm a very religious person, so it worked. Prayer definitely works.
There you go.
Yeah. What's also interesting is it wasn't until I was in community college that I actually thought about religious priesthood. That's when I really delved into it. And I felt the Lord tell me no to the diocesan life and yes, the religious life. So I looked, visited different orders, had some a few life experiences, had a job after I graduated from the university, and then I applied to the Servite Order here in the United States. And I first reached out to you, Eddie, and we had a lot of conversations. I went on a great vocation retreat at our shrine in Portland, Oregon. And that's pretty much all it took. I'm happy to be here. I've been here for over 2 years now, pretty much in my third year. So I'm loving it.
Good. Very good. All right, Thomas. When did you become aware of a vocation to religious life, priesthood?
Well, Cole, my story is not as fancy as your story, but
thank you.
when I was 16, I remember, you know, it's around about the time where my class in high school, we were all trying to figure out what we were going to do for the rest of our lives as we were applying to university. And one Sunday at Mass, I just remember as I was praying before Mass, because my family always showed up, you know, 10 minutes early to get a seat, it just kind of hit me all of a sudden that, hey, have you considered priesthood? Hit me kind of out of the blue. It was never on my radar at all. And then suddenly all at once it was. And that's when I first started no longer taking married life for granted, when it was no longer just assumed that I was going to get married and have a family. And so I started discerning, and I'm not going to pretend that I was, you know, discerning the whole time from 16 to here I am 22. You know, there was on and off. I dated, I didn't. But there was always, especially as I got into undergrad, I was being tugged more towards some kind of vocation, either in religious life or the diocesan priesthood. And I would always, diocesan priesthood would be like my baseline, and then I'd research into an order, and I'd spend some time thinking and praying about that order, and then I'd discern that that really wasn't something I'd want in my life or that I'd be able to do. I thought about the Carthusians. God bless him, I could not be that quiet. So I just would hem and haw and kind of go back and forth, religious life, diocesan. And then my prayer life, it was always, I always had a Marian devotion and a devotion to Christ crucified. And so near the end of my undergrad, those kind of coalesced into a devotion to Our Lady of Sorrows. And I remember I Googled devotions to Our Lady of Sorrows, seeing if there were any devotionals that were available that were out there. And I stumbled across the Wikipedia page for the Servite Rosary. And I was like, this is neat. Who are the Servites? and from that point, I started researching a lot more into the Servites. And unlike when I was looking at the Carthusians or anything, it was really resonating with me. Everything that I was reading was really resonating with me. And at that point, I realized, okay, I need to reach out to you, Ed, and eventually, you know, with Father Don as well, and start discerning with y'all as vocation directors, and then applied. And here I am now, about a year later.
Awesome. Yeah. You know, I think part of the awareness that we want to really stress is, and both of you guys could probably attest to this, both Father Don and I, we don't force anyone into the Servites. The first contacts are always just, are you sure this is something? Have you considered diocesan versus religious? You know, it's making you aware of the different possibilities and what is it that you are really being called to.
For me, I really, while I was discerning the Servites, I was also looking to other orders. I had looked at the Dominicans of the Western United States province. I looked at the Norbertine canons at St. Michael's Abbey down in Orange County. And I also looked at the Priests of the Sacred Heart here, out here in Wisconsin, and a few others as well. I really allow myself to follow the Spirit. And when it came down to making the decision, at the time it was between the Servites and the Norbertines. But for me, what really kind of pushed me, other than God telling me go to the Servites, it was when I remembered when I was on the vocation retreat with the Norbertines. I did appreciate their life. I love the Norbertines. I have nothing against their spirituality. I thought the guys at St. Michael's were great. I really loved their kind of traditional sense of the liturgy and religious life. But God said, no, Cole, you're going to be with the Servites. I think you'll like that because there's an equal balance between prayer and the active life, and you might really appreciate it. So that's one thing that I really took away from it.
And Cole, you bring up a very good point. You know, all of the religious orders that the church has, all of the charisms are wonderful gifts from God that are then, you know, given back to the church.
Right.
And discernment is really about figuring out where you fit in all that. You know, it's not that these other places are bad and that we're the best. There's none of that. It's just where do I feel called to be and why? And learning to articulate that and letting the Holy Spirit guide us in those decisions. You know, Carthusians, I love them. Their spirituality I think is rich and wonderful. Mm-hmm. But mm-hmm. I would be physically incapable of being quiet for the rest of my life.
I agree. I am
way too extroverted to shut up all the time. Right. And that's just knowing myself, I would not fit. And so it was an easy decision for me there. Mm-hmm. But it's really about figuring out, okay, God has given me gifts. Where do I fit?
Right. I kind of had the same understanding with you, Thomas, about looking into the more cloistered or enclosed life, like the Carthusians, the Trappists, thinking of Thomas Merton. When I looked at the Abbey of Gethsemane, where Thomas Merton was, they got up at 3 a.m. every morning. I said, no, thank you. But I agree with you, Thomas. I kind of had the same feeling when I was looking into the more enclosed orders, because I didn't want to just be by myself or be in community, but be mm-hmm. silent. I want to be out with the people. I know that's where God is calling me. I mean, God blessed their witness and their response to the prophetic call, which is talked about a lot after the Second Vatican Council. But it just wasn't for me. Thinking about our gifts is in discernment is where can you see yourself? So what type of life can you easily and with great comfort use your talents and gifts that the Lord has given you? Where can you be your best version of yourself? Because if you're in a place where you can't use your gifts at all, then you're not going to have a very healthy and happy religious life.
Right. Yeah, and I think as vocation directors, what we do is make sure that guys are doing this for the right reason. Mm-hmm. You know, I think there's a little bit of a fear in most men that if they contact a vocation director, then, you know, the vocation director is going to mm-hmm. hook them in and not let them go and force them to do something, you know. But most of the religious vocation directors I know, their first step is really getting guys to understand and women to understand what it is that they're called to do and try to direct them in a way. If I'm talking to someone and I know they're not Servite material, I just know that they would not belong or fit in or be happy there, then I'm going to, you know, direct them in another way. I think that's important. And that's what the awareness is about. Hey, just look into it. Just ask questions. Just go talk to people. Besides Father Don and myself, who were people that were important during that discernment? Who did you talk to or be involved with to help you? Because that is an important part of it.
Mm-hmm. For me, it was really my supportive group of good friends. I was involved in the campus ministry at my undergrad. And that really gave me a good, solid Catholic friend group. Mm-hmm. You know, I feel like if I talked about this with just my best friend who I've known since high school, if I talked with him about it, he's an atheist. It's something that he wouldn't get. it would be talking to a brick wall about it.
Right.
But talking with some good Catholic friends about, hey, this is what I think is, this is what's going on in my prayer life. This is what I think God's calling me to. This is weird. It's new. I don't know what's going on. And just having, mm-hmm. having that support there in my good, solid Catholic friend group was wonderful. It was fantastic. It really helped me kind of concretize what's going on in my life,
right.
and how this might be something real. And no, I'm not just imagining it. And
how early did you bring them in, Thomas? Like, was it after you kind of decided to go towards the Servites, or was that group kind of engaged early on?
That group was engaged earlier on. I'd say, you know, I started not taking marriage for granted at 16, but my good, solid Catholic friend group, I probably got involved around about when I was 20. That's when it was kind of solid, and I felt like I knew them well enough, and we were good enough friends to kind mm-hmm. of go on that deeper level of, this is what's going on in my spiritual life. I remember late nights in the library at undergrad studying, and it's 2 a.m., and we finally finished an essay or something, and we're walking back to the dorm. And, you know, the conversation just goes there.
Right,
So I got them involved pretty early, because they really were that support group.
Yeah, they're the force behind. I think it's important to have that group that's going to not force you to make a decision, but to give you the pros and the cons and the yeses and the nos, and allowing you to make that decision. Not to, you know, try to force you to make a decision either way, but just to kind of bounce the ideas off of it. That is important. What about you, Cole?
Well, those who were important to me very very early on were my parents. Mm-hmm. My mom was a little hesitant at first, which is kind of interesting. She said to wait, because I was only 13 at the time. She was like, well, wait, don't make your decision just yet now. Think about marriage. There's always being a deacon where you can be married. And there was also a time, I don't know why, she said, oh, you can always leave the Catholic Church, go become an Episcopalian, become a married Episcopalian priest, and then come back to Catholicism with your wife. And I was like, no, I don't want to leave the church. And she kind of had this mindset for a long time until we were at this party and our assistant, associate pastor was there at the time. She asked him and he said, no, it's not going to be possible if, Cole leaves, becomes an Episcopalian priest and wants to come back to be a Catholic priest. That's not possible. So I finally got someone in my court.
Right.
Now she finally came around. I have other siblings that she can have grandchildren with. my dad, he understood. He was very supportive of me because he always knew that I was very special. I was kind of different from my siblings. I was the only one who was very fond of his faith and the Catholic Church in general. And I didn't really have much Catholic peers that I can talk to. I did talk with my best friend in eighth grade. I think I told my teacher, and he said, okay. But the only people who really, in my Catholic circle, who really supported me were older parishioners who knew me and knew that I really loved my faith and really encouraged me to do it. And what's more interesting is when I went to high school, I went to a small non-denominational Christian school in the evangelical tradition. And all my friends, all Protestants, and I'm the only Catholic, they all said, Cole, you're going to be a great priest. Why? It's kind of interesting. They didn't try to convert me. They had me be the Catholic representative. And since I didn't bash Protestantism, they did see that I was like, yeah, you can be a good priest. So I had my Protestant friends say, yes, you can be a good Catholic priest. And then when I got a job after I graduated from my undergraduate years, I worked in a school for kids with autism, and I had lapsed Catholics say that I would be a great priest. I had co-workers who were secular Jews who said I would be a great priest. So it's really interesting how many people can be supportive of you, who can see something different mm-hmm. in you,
yep.
can see how much you live your faith. And even though you don't talk about your faith, just live it through your example in a way. And when you mention to them that, yeah, you're thinking about becoming a priest, they say, go for it. Because they can see that in you. So it's very interesting.
Well, and I think part of also National Vocation Awareness Week is to make other people aware of the power that they have, where, first of all, in prayer, praying for people who are discerning, especially if they know particular people who are discerning, but just that power in saying to someone, hey, you know what? I think you would make a good priest. I think you would make a good sister. I think, saying that to someone, that you really feel that, you know, don't just go around saying it to everyone hoping it, you know, lands, but when you actually feel that someone would be a good priest or a good sister, I think it's important, and we need to stress, say that, go up to them and say it and
right.
Cole, you're an example of that hearing that from people kind of helps you and make that, doesn't push you, it assists right. you in that discernment. You know, part of what I've seen has happened is guys will feel the call or they'll hear it and they'll kind of think that that's a direction they want to go in, but they don't know what to do, you know, and they get afraid to contact the vocation director. And I'm just here to say, don't be afraid to do that you know, we are not trying to win a toaster by getting the most people, you know, to join type thing. We really are trying to help guys in the discernment process. So if you know, I can't stress it enough. If they feel that call, you need to pursue it. We are slowly running out of time here in Friar Time. But I did want to ask you guys if there was just some advice that you could give to young men right now who are discerning, what would that be?
I have two bits of advice. Bit of advice number one is pray, and pray some more. That bit of advice was given to me by the chaplain of the campus ministry I was involved at during undergrad, and it has served me well. Don't stop praying. That's bit of advice number one. Number two, be bold. This is a time to kind of be courageous and to say, I don't know where God's taking me, but I'm here to find out. And so ask those questions. Reach out to vocation directors. Talk to people. Be bold about it.
Good. Thank you, Thomas. Cole?
First of all, I'm going to try to keep it brief.
Wait, what? That would be a first?
That's a big thing for me. I do agree with Thomas. Prayer is the most important, because without prayer, you won't know where you're going and how to get to where you need to be. That's number one. Number two is ask yourself the question, is it okay for me to think this? Can I see myself become a religious or a priest? And another thing is talk with people. Talk with everyone you know and try to determine if this is the life for you. And also, when you do accept your call, I also encourage you, after you talk with everyone, including your priests and other religious that you know in your life, my encouragement is for young people to go online or go to the vocations office at their diocese and pick up some information about religious life and diocesan life. Take a little shopping spree. See what's out there. Mm-hmm. What draws you? What makes you interested? What ministry or lifestyle is interesting for you? And then go from there. Take a little shopping spree and see what's out there. And then let the Lord help you.
Awesome. Excellent. Yeah, Vision Magazine is really good. Vision website is very good. They have everything on there. They have a match that you can put all the information in. So I encourage
that.
Same here.
I would love to spend more time with you guys, but we've come to an end here. So, I appreciate Cole and Thomas, both of you joining us on Friar Time and especially during this National Vocation Awareness Week. Maybe get you guys to join us more often. I don't know. Mm-hmm. You're probably both busy.
Yeah, we'll see.
We'll definitely have to have you on another podcast. That was great to have both of you. If you would like more information on the Servites, you can visit our website at servites.org/vocations. And if you're discerning a vocation to religious life and would like to contact us, you can do so at vocations@serviteusa.org. Or you can call us at 855-676-1233. Once again, I'd like to thank Cole and Thomas for joining us. I'd also like to thank James Forrester, the Director of Communications for the Servants of Mary, the American Wake for the theme music, and all of you for joining us for some Friar Time. So for Cole and Thomas, and for Father Don, I'm Ed Murphy. Thank you for listening, and God bless.